broadcasting worldwide.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. I hope you're ready for a refreshing afternoon, morning, whenever you're listening to this, of information. You can find this show via biztalkradio.com, the BizTalk Radio app. We're also on 15 AM stations nationwide. And you can also find us and find prior episodes of the Refresh Your Wealth Show on iTunes under the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. Thanks for being with us today. You know, we like to talk about tax and legal topics, about building wealth, and sometimes we got to talk about the problems that come up in life. And this is a topic we're going to talk about today, is what to do in a car accident and protecting your assets. Like it or not, if you drive a car, you're going to be involved in a car accident one day if you haven't already. I can just think of myself and my own, it's my spouse and the car accidents we've been involved in over the years. It all happens to us. It's obviously a traumatic time. There could be medical issues and lots of stresses that occur and problems, but we want to talk about it from your lawyer's perspective and talk about protecting your assets and what to be thinking about from a legal perspective when the inevitable, unfortunately, car accident may occur.
Yeah, I think this is a really, really important topic. And Matt, that was a great introduction. I mean, I don't know how to add to it, except folks, you may, know a lot of this stuff. It's intuitive. We all kind of know what we should be doing when we're, dealing with our assets and driving a car. But it's always good to review it and hear it again and say, oh my gosh, Mark and Matt, that was a good reminder. So some of you may think, hey, you didn't tell me anything new, but you know what? We're making you think about it. And if we can accomplish that, then we've refreshed your wealth. We're trying to help you here. Better live your time. So maybe we'll share something pretty sexy and new and thought-provoking, but we got a lot of thoughts here on this car accident topic. We are not plaintiff attorneys. We don't sue people and have billboards for car accidents, but we love to protect our clients' assets. And so we're going to think of the other side, not how to attack someone that's hurt you in a car accident. Maybe that's a great topic for another show, but we want to talk about how to protect your assets if you are the one at fault, or maybe just in an accident and could get sucked into something. So all the above, we're going to hit it.
Now, Mark, have you been in a car accident?
Oh, Matt. Now, you know what? It's funny you say that. It's been, I got to think of the last time I was. It's been a long time. It's high school, college years at best. So I have teenagers. Does that count? I've got.
You got three little liabilities driving around out there.
Yeah. So we've had some accidents recently. They were my progeny.
Well, I mean, we're kidding. I know this is a serious topic, and I just wanted to really try and make the point that this happens. I mean, car accidents are a regular occurrence. There wouldn't be so many pages of personal injury lawyers in the yellow pages if they didn't. And I just think of my own commute every day and how many car accidents I see. They happen. They happen to us as business owners. They happen to us as investors. They happen to people in our family. And it's just something we want to try and protect ourselves from as best we can. So we're going to be talking about today, and try and give you some insights there to make you feel a little more protected from the inevitable, unfortunate car accident.
I love it. You know, last week I think Matt called me out when I said something a little odd. And so, Matt, did I hear you say the word yellow pages? maybe for our younger listener, could you maybe explain what those are?
Yeah. Hey. there are certain parts of the country where those things are still used, okay?
they're trying to get big on the line as well.
So for what I've heard.
Oh well, there you go. All right. We'll go through Yellow Pages, CD players, and maybe even hit eight tracks on another show. But until then, Matt, I think Matt, you've got the legal tip this week, right? Can I tell
you
for you?
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, let me give the legal tip. I'm excited to do it today. This is actually this is from Kevin Kennedy's blog article that was in our newsletter. I encourage you to check that out. I helped Kevin with it a little bit, and it was a really interesting article about raising money from family and friends. And I think there's a couple of misconceptions people have about that. I just want to give a tip or two on. When we're starting businesses, or we got a real estate investment or whatever it may be, and we're thinking, where's the first place I'm going to go to raise money? And everyone always tells you, well, just think of your friends and family. Go there first. And why not? Those people have a certain level of trust with you. And why not reward them with an opportunity in whatever venture you're going out on? But I think there's a couple missteps people make. The first is from a legal and securities law standpoint in thinking, oh, they're friends and family. I don't need to worry about securities laws, or I don't need to do any paperwork really. And that's a big mistake. Don't think because someone's friends and family that they're not going to sue you if something goes wrong, or that they don't need certain documents or records, or you don't need to comply with certain securities laws. That's a major misconception. If anything, you want to be doing more for friends and family, because you know what? They're going to see you at the next family reunion and ask what's going on. They're going to see you maybe at a Sunday dinner. They're going to see you at your cousin's birthday party. You know what I mean? Or you know, if it's your friend at the next football party, whatever it may be. And so you want to make particularly certain in those situations you're really documenting that investment and following the rules depending on what you're doing. You know, are they loaning you money? Are they being a partner in your company? Are they being a quote-unquote silent partner? And do you know how to treat a silent partner from a legal standpoint? Really important to understand those rules. There's a lot more in Kevin's blog article, which you can get on the law firm's website at kkoslawyers.com, that goes into that a little more in detail. But I just want to give a quick tip on that don't think your friends and family need less attention when they're investing in your business or investments. In fact, they need more.
I like it, Matt. And you know what? This goes right along with the new ABC show coming out this week, Madoff, played by Richard Dreyfuss. Have you seen that, Matt? Have you seen the ads?
No, but man, there are that show plus the new OJ show with Cuba Gooding Jr. Oh, those! I'm super excited for both of those. The criminal masterminds of the last couple decades.
You know, it's interesting how just kind of a little entertainment news side note here is it is kind of interesting how the TV shows have become, and the Emmys are becoming more and more important mm-hmm. than Golden Globes and Oscars. The quality mm-hmm. of TV shows, because you can take more time to develop the storyline and the characters. And but anyway, on this note, Madoff, the new ABC TV show comes out, and Richard Dreyfuss plays this story. Now, listen, everybody, this is important, right? On this family and friends comment, is that's what took down Bernie Madoff. Was the securities laws when he was taking money from friends, family, and investors, not following rules he should have been following, and people not asking questions. And gosh, it's such a sad story. His son commits suicide. He's in, you know, it just goes on and on. So I'm really excited for mm-hmm. this series. But Matt, I like your tip because it's right on this point. You cannot cut corners, even if it's family and friends.
Yeah, and you know, I was even listening to a radio show where someone was talking about this, different radio show of ours, a competitor, and they were talking about this Madoff show, and they talked about someone was being interviewed, an expert about it, and said, yeah, you know, no one thought to double check something that Uncle Bernie was doing, and that was kind of how he flew under the radar, and so. Really interesting, unfortunately, but looking forward to that show for sure.
Yeah. Well, let me start with a little tax tip here, and I'll give you what that topic's going to be, and then we'll come back after the break. So first, our tax tip of the show.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
So our tax tip, folks, and you're going to have to come right back after the break to get the full scoop on this, is I want to talk about your home computer, your laptop. How do you write those off without getting into hot water with the IRS? Everybody has a home computer. Some may even have a laptop, iPads, all that techie stuff. There's special rules there. So stay tuned. Come right back, and we're going to hit a tax tip here and keep talking about refreshing your wealth. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. And I have the opportunity of sharing a little tax tip after Matt's Bernie Madoff tip. That was a good one. So I'm going to have to step it up. So I want to talk about something practically all of us should be, you know, thinking about and utilizing on our tax return, and that's writing off our home computer and some of that tech gear. So let me come from a kind of a reverse angle here and make an important strategy point of view that we use here in the law firm and accounting firm. And that is, if you've got a laptop, if you've got an iPad, and you've got a cell phone, and you're using those actively in your business, and you've got a home phone line for your personal use, that's what the IRS would require. Folks, we're going to look at taking 100% of your laptop as a deduction, 100% of your cell phone and the internet, or and the not only the cell phone equipment, but the cell phone service. And we're going to be looking at iPads and all these little techie-type things that help you succeed in your business. But when it comes to the home computer, which we know we're going to have some personal use, we might sit down, return a little email, personal email to grandma, write something up on Facebook, sit there in our underwear and eat some cereal. You know, who knows? Here's the point. Home computer has to be bifurcated. This is kind of a unique term. That means it has to be divided, and it has to be divided by some sort of personal use versus business use. And it's a term called listed property for your accountants. We love that word. We get all hot and bothered when you start talking, you know, in these technical terms. But a home computer is considered listed property, and so you would find a percentage for the use of the home computer. So that's okay. That's normal. And if your accountant's bugging you for that percentage of use on your home computer, that's cool. But you better be aggressive on those laptops, iPads, iPhones, all those computers, computer accessory type equipment. That's the approach we take, and I recommend you do the same.
All right. Well, awesome. Now, does that apply? This is, you know, this is Matt Sorensen getting, you know, trying to get a little bit of free information from Mark Kohler, CPA. Now, because I know I'm going to get this question, like the real estate investor that doesn't have something on Schedule C, doesn't have an S corp, are they able to take some of those expenses for the home computer, the cell phone?
Well, absolutely, I would. Yeah, and you'll be getting a bill for this, Matt. Be all over on this. No, the Schedule E. Schedule E is an echo. For you real estate investors out there that don't have the formal operational entity or Schedule C, do not be afraid to take this deduction. You should be taking it, and it would be on a Schedule E. So talk again to your accountant this spring as you're going through your tax return and making sure that they're looking at all of that home office type equipment, furniture, and usage. Good stuff. Hey, folks, if you own a rental property, you got a business. You know, let's treat it like that.
All right, now, Mark, we had the question of the week from last week that you gave, and I got a winner here. You want to walk us through the question from last week, the tax question?
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, and folks, we're trying to, you know, spruce up these questions, get your juices flowing, and so we got a lot of responses this week. And, again, Matt will be sharing a legal question here shortly, and so I want you to be ready to email in your answer because we have a winner. Matt will announce that winner, but here's the question. here's the question. You know, you're sitting around the kitchen table, you're prepping your tax return, you may be doing it yourself this year, you don't have that complex of return, that's fine, more power to you, we're proud of you. As things get a little more complex, give us a call. But you may be doing your tax return thinking, oh man, I'm going to, oh, what am I going to do? Well, oh, I can extend. I can extend my tax return and I won't have to pay until I do my actual tax return because I extended. Good to go. Is that true? That was the question. Matt, do we have a winner?
We do. We got a winner. This is Dennis from Chicago who wrote in, based on my understanding, if no payment is made by April 18th, penalties work will occur. Best to file and pay what you can to avoid penalties, then set up a plan to pay. Now, Dennis also pointed out he saw Mark speaking in Chicago recently and had some kind words for Mark.
Oh, Dennis, thanks for that shout out and great answer. And, you know, folks, what I like Dennis's highlight, I don't have a calendar in front of me. Matt, what is the 15th right now this year? I mean, we ought to throw this out. What is the 15th? Is it on a – it is on a Saturday. Is that right?
Let's see. It is on a Friday, actually. So
on a Friday.
It's going to be April 15th,
Yeah, April 15th. So, and Dennis pointed out April 18th. And I got to check my regs on that. If we had Liddell, our accounting partner on the line, he would confirm that quickly for us. But we'll get that exact. I haven't put that in our newsletter yet, the exact deadline. Oftentimes when the tax deadline hits on a Friday or Saturday, the IRS will push your actual deadline to the following Monday. So Dennis threw out a little, you know, curveball there, folks. So keep your pants on. We'll keep you posted on when that exact deadline is on April 15th or April 18th. But great answer. So Dennis wins a free copy of our book, and we'll send that off with no shipping and personalize it. So, Dennis, thank you. Now, Matt's going to – now, folks, get ready on your phones. Matt is now going to pose our legal question. I'm excited to hear this, too.
All right. Well, I want to give a – this is a – you know, I've been trying to think in the terms of are you liable or not. You know, that's the angle we've been taking on some of these legal questions. And this one's going to go somewhat in that vein, but it's more of a bigger picture issue in this question. So let me just give you the question here, because this is one I think we get some people with differences of opinion. It's changed a little bit over the years, and we'll really want to get this question out there to get you thinking about it. And that is, should I use a limited partnership for my rental real estate? Yes or no? Should I use a limited partnership for my rental real estate? I don't mean to put a trick question here, and I want you to think of this from a asset protection and tax standpoint. You know, Mark and I have both written on this in the past, and that's just a frontline question, choice of entity. Do I use the limited partnership for rental real estate? Yes or no? If you'd like to elaborate, you know, and we got a close call between answers, you know, we might take the one that has a little more elaboration, but we appreciate those that have been answering. We did actually get, we've been getting a lot better response on the questions over the past few weeks. And keep in mind, you can email in those responses to the question to Matt, M-A-T, at KQS Lawyers, or Mark, M-A-R-K, at KQSLawyers.com. And the winner not only gets recognized on the air here, but also gets a free copy of either mine or Mark's book, Your Pick.
And I love your question, Matt. And I'm going to say this to put it in perspective, too. Many of you could attend a workshop this weekend from a real estate company and receive advice that you should put your property in an LP and other groups that would say you should not. Now, we take a position here at KQS Lawyers, and we'll give you the answer next week. Okay, everybody, we're going to be right back after the break and get into the topic of the day, what to do if you're in a car accident. We're going to give you some great reminders. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We're going to get into the topic of the day, protecting your assets in a car accident. And we're going to kind of walk through this in a few different parts. We'll talk about how to protect yourself before an accident arises and what should you be doing before that even happens. What to do when you're in the middle of it, when the, you know, right after the accident occurs. And then what to be doing after that accident occurs and trying to resolve things. So we'll try and answer those three different scenarios. But Mark, I know you had a story you wanted to kick this discussion off with.
Yeah, this is a story that really hit home. It was a family member and a client that we helped in this situation. And it was really a sad affair. So our client was the victim in this situation, but was hit by a business owner. And he was a contractor, and he was driving his own truck that he used for construction. And I'll just say it could have been a lot worse if it would have been an employee driving this truck, which we're going to talk about that. But he was driving his own truck in construction and blew through a stop sign. Now, there was no allegation of texting and driving, but he went through this stop sign, blindsided our client, and she was in the hospital for a couple weeks. It was a pretty traumatic accident. Now, generally fully recovered, but there's been some latent lifetime impact because of this. And so, of course, there was a lawsuit that followed. Now, what was interesting in this case is looking from the business owner's perspective, he did not have his business liability insurance have his truck listed as additionally insured or in a business vehicle or business insurance for driving his construction truck. His insurance company had no idea that he owned a small business. He just probably called that cute little 1-800 number with the gecko and thought, oh, I'm just going to get the cheapest insurance I can. And he had this insurance policy for his truck, but it had nothing to do with business use. So when the accident occurred and the lawyer started to get involved because it was fairly serious, right away his personal auto carrier, insurance carrier said, oh, well, we didn't know you had a business. We didn't know this was a business errand. We're only covering X. And the policy limits were extremely low in this type of situation. Folks, believe it or not, insurance companies are not rushing to your side to write big checks. That's not their plan of attack. That's not how they make money. So anyway, he then got personally sued for the excess amount, and he did not have an umbrella policy, another twist in this whole story. And he had to put a lien on his own home to cough up some additional money for the plaintiff. Now, the plaintiff wasn't too vindictive. They could have literally taken his home and everything he had. But the plaintiff was like, I'll take policy limits and another 50 or 100 grand, and I don't want to ruin this bad guy's family. And so the plaintiff really did, I think, had a good head on their shoulders in this situation. But the point being here, folks, is that if you're a business owner and you get in an accident, there's some lessons learned here from this gentleman that he ended up having a personal liability when he had a corporation, had an LLC, whatever, you know, blah, 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 had an entity. But he made some mistakes in that process. So maybe that kind of gets your cackles up, gets your thinking. But very important little story. I know, Matt, you've got several takeaways. So I told you that experience I wanted to share today, too. I mean, so why don't you throw out maybe some of those initial tips that I think we can take away there?
Yeah, so I think let me just hit a few things, and this is again, let's look at this from what should this business owner have done from, and you know, what to do before the accident arises. And I think there's a few things, and these really fit in line with our general asset protection strategy. No matter what the incident is, whether it's a slip and fall on a rental, whether it's a car accident in your business, or even as a business owner personally getting in an accident, I mean, your assets are going to be at risk. So here's a few things. One is we want to make sure you're using a business. If you know this contractors out there working, do you have a corporation or an LLC from an asset protection standpoint? Does it own the truck that you're driving around in? Because we want to see first if we can use that corporate veil in this. Individual business owner. The second thing,
Matt, there's a little technical difficulty there. Why don't you just wrap that up where you said you want to make sure that the corporate veil is in place and that the company owned the vehicle if possible. And go ahead and finish that thought if you need to.
Yeah, and so there's the general principle that we want to limit liability to the company and its assets. In the example I think you gave, Mark, you know, they get to personal liability and weren't stopped at the company. So we want to be able to try and get them to stop at the company and not get to personal liability, get at the business owner's home, and as was the case in that example.
Love it.
Now, one other thing I just want to point out too, and this is just a big picture item, is – think about how you're building wealth and where those assets are going. As you guys know, I'm a big proponent of retirement accounts and things like that. There's great tax benefits to them and how you invest them. And you can self-direct them and buy things you actually like to invest in, like real estate rather than just mutual funds. But retirement accounts are also an excellent asset protection strategy. You know, that's if you want to amass a lot of money in one of the most, you know, bulletproof places you can put it, quote unquote, you know, as everyone likes to use that term. Retirement account is one of the best places to have funds. It would, any plaintiff would be stopped from getting into your retirement account. As in this example, that plaintiff would not be able to get into the retirement account of that business owner. That business owner could file bankruptcy if necessary, if things went really bad, and the retirement account would be protected. So think of building assets in a retirement account as a long-term strategy as well.
I like it. And let's talk about the type of business structure now. Again, this is all in advance, and I like the way that you said that, Matt. When a client comes in and says, oh, I need asset protection. I read your book, or I saw you speak, Mark, or I need asset protection. I'll say, great, tell me about your assets. Well, I've got this 1972 Gremlin, and I'm living in the basement with my family. But I need asset protection. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't have assets. So worry about it when you get some assets going. But that the point being here, though, is, for those of you that do have some assets, we have to say, how do we protect those and be very targeted? And I like what Matt said, is putting some of those assets as much as possible in those tax-preferred retirement plans that are just incredible for protection. But what about the money? And let me make an incredible point here. I think that's very important, is if you've got a business that you are doing construction or driving a truck or a car and on a regular basis as a consultant, or you've got deliveries or whatever type of business it may be that involves transportation or some driving around. You're not just selling jeans on eBay in your basement. Well, let's think about this. How much money or assets do you want to leave in that business? And I said, let's make sure we have an entity formed. Got it. But do we want to put rentals in that entity as well that runs our business? Oh, no. Because if there's a problem, we don't want big, fat assets in that entity. We want the entity to absorb that liability. And so by taking those assets and putting them in a separate entity, you create a barrier. You create a wall. That's why many of you have seen us put rental properties on the right-hand side in one entity and then run your business on the left-hand side in a different entity. And that's isolating assets, just like Matt talked about. So I think, just to summarize here, make sure you're talking to your insurance company on a regular basis. Find out what your umbrella insurance really does. We talked about this last week on the show. Please go back and listen to it. And then making sure you have your entity. And should your entity be the owner of your vehicles? And where are your assets? Are you putting assets in your entity? Probably not a good idea. Drain it. It's just an entity to make money and spit out profit to be invested in other places. So just some additional points of view there.
Yeah, I just want to make a point on insurance coverage as well. I mean, let's say in this example it was an employee of the contractor instead of the contractor that got in an accident. Well, what could happen here now, you got employees out driving around. That plaintiff could sue the business, And now your employee could sue the business and the business owner. You want to make sure you've got workers' comp coverage. That workers' comp coverage protects your liability between you as the business owner and your employee if they're out there driving around. And I've seen some scenarios where people haven't had workers' comp insurance, and it's a big liability mistake to not have workers' comp insurance. So if you got employees particularly driving around, make sure you got workers' comp insurance. We'll be back here after the break talking more about protecting yourself in the event of an accident.
Welcome back, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Here talking about ways to protect your assets in the case of an accident. Now, we talked about where to put your assets just briefly there and making sure you're having regular meetings with your insurance. And I'm the insurance agent, and I'm going to comment a once-a-year meeting with your asset protection attorney, not your litigation guy, your tax guy, but like in a lawyer that understands what your business structure looks like and just kind of, looking at where are your eggs at, where are your different baskets. So we're not overdoing it and we're not underdoing it. You'd be shocked, many of you listening, where Matt and I get in on the call with clients and we have them unwind a few things. It's just too expensive. They don't need all that crap. And then other clients, we get on the phone and we're just shocked that they don't have more planning. And their butts to the wind. So keep that in mind. Now let's talk about what to do if you get in that actual accident. What are some things you can do quickly? Now, I don't want to beat it to death, but I'll use my Jerry Maguire quote from last week. Help me help you. Help me help you. and that's what your lawyer's begging for you. So if we're going to defend you and if you're going to have a hard time with an accident, some of the things you can do immediately on the scene is get out that smartphone. One of the best inventions to help you in an accident is to get out that smartphone, do some recordings, do some video, do some pictures, and start gathering information from everybody that may have been a witness, and exchange info with all the parties involved, and be very cooperative. Try to keep emotions down and take a lot of information. That's my initial. I know, Matt, you've got some things you want to add to that too.
Yeah, I like those. And one thing I want to talk about from just, again, the business owner aspect is a lot of times you're going to have to make a claim. You know, if the police are called to the scene, which is usually going to happen in a car accident, you're going to usually be required to exchange insurance information. And as a result, your insurance carrier is going to be aware of a possible claim. Now, there can be situations, and we've seen these, you hit a parking, you hit a tree or something. I don't know. Something happens where there's not necessarily another party involved. And but you may want to be careful about not making a claim if for small incidents because they can affect your insurance coverage and rates. A lot of times, like I said, you're not going to have the option. You're going to have to make the claim, and you want to for anything that's going to be significant. Anything you even think could possibly be significant, you're going to want to make a claim to make sure you have coverage. But I just want to keep in mind, if there are small things or things you can work out with someone without having a claim made, sometimes paying that out of pocket for what could be less than your deductible anyways, and trying to resolve it with another party is better than making the claim because the claim can affect your insurance rates. So that's something to just keep in mind as you're going through making a claim. Can happen in some situations, can work.
Yeah, great points, Matt. And with our show shortly coming to a close here, I want to get another comment, and that's taking notes. Not only pulling out a camera and taking pictures, but taking notes immediately when you get home, pull out a little journal or type up a little email to yourself so it can be saved somewhere, put it on your desktop, laptop, and write up the notes of what you experienced and what you may have been seen or distracted by or who could have been at fault other than you. And an important note is to also keep notes ongoing. If you were injured, if you what dates you had phone calls with the insurance adjusters, what dates you had phone calls with attorneys or this other party trying to cut a deal. You want to really keep very detailed notes of conversations, and you never know when a situation can get worse, and then all of a sudden it's a he said, she said, and your notes are terrible. It's very, very important to keep good records.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of times liability is not always clear in an accident. And so just be careful about, you know, saying, you know, I'm sorry, it was my fault, or, you know, or apologizing, or just making any statements that could indicate that you were at fault. If you were, you know, let's take some time to make sure you understand everything that happened and all the facts, and then, you know, be the responsible person and try and work it out with the other side. But there are a lot of situations where fault is not clear, or both parties may have been at fault and you have to proportion fault. So you want to be careful about protecting yourself and not committing or apologizing for things that could then be used against you, later at trial. So, just maybe stick to the, you know, is everyone okay type thing, and let kind of the case get investigated by the police and the insurance adjusters to see what happened. But I love all the comments you made to Mark about notes and pictures and things like that.
Yeah. And Matt, great point. You guys, many of you don't know, this, you may be just getting to know me and Matt and our firm, but, I'm the bleeding heart, and we'll start apologizing for things and trying to keep everybody happy. And Matt constantly reminds them, dude, you're playing poker here. You got to put on your poker face and be careful what you say and blah, blah, blah. And so I was never born to be a litigator, folks. I'm a lover, not a fighter. So just throwing that out, you know. Let's just see IRS. I can get my hackles up. Matt, in our last minute here, do we have a five-star review that you can share with us?
Yes, we do. And as you guys know, we love five-star reviews on iTunes. Please get over to iTunes and give us a five-star review. It helps other people find the show. Send us an email when you do, and we'll send you a free copy of one of Minor Mark's books. We had a five-star review come in, said, better than law school, five stars. They don't teach you this stuff in any school. It's cutting-edge wealth training for serious investors without the big price tag. Keep it up. And thank you for that review. The price tag is free. So how about that? It's free. You can find this show. And we appreciate all those who listen and who are sharing it with their friends and family, letting them know about the show and giving us five-star reviews on iTunes as well.
Yes, folks, please send us an email if you have a suggestion for a topic on the show that you'd like us to cover. We're excited to be here with you every week. We're not going anywhere. So please continue to share a link to the show. Refreshyourwealth.com is a great resource. You can access our law firm, accounting firm, our books, our education, and we hope to be a part of your life for many years to come. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.